So it's Limerick versus Cork for the first time ever in the All-Ireland Hurling Final on Sunday. And to preview this all-Munster showdown, delighted to welcome back to the show former Daisha boss Derek McGrath. And Derek, it's All-Ireland Final week. You experienced this in 2017. From your memories of it, does that kind of stick out from the build-up around the county or the week of the game itself?
Yeah, a couple of things, I suppose. First, the novelty factor of it's probably repeated this weekend with Cork and Limerick pairing in the first pairing. So it was the dynamic of the meeting of ourselves in Galway. It was probably the observer's dream in terms of neutrality, I suppose. Most people probably would hope that we would bridge that gap to 1959, but they wouldn't have been too perturbed about seeing Galway do it. You know, when there was no traditionalists involved, or Cork, Kilkenny or Tipperary, there was kind of a novelty to that. And we tried to detach ourselves from that. I think we managed the hype pretty well. We obviously had a disappointment in not having Connor available for the All-Ireland final. But we think we managed generally the hype well in the lead up to it, albeit we underperformed particularly for that first 7 or 8 minutes of the final. And retrospectively you look back at that and you kind of regret, you don't regret really much. You maybe regret, I've been on the record of saying regretting not maybe fighting for Connor's cause a bit more kind of adamantly, but and forcefully, but generally we think we managed to build up relatively well with a good group of players. They were able to manage well the build up too. We went to Johnstown House the night before. Things have changed. People like to go up maybe on the morning of the game, but we felt that group, given their age profile at the time, and they liked being together early in the weekend, and that kind of maybe quell or quench any nerves. So yeah, generally happy with the build up, with the exception of, as I said, the first 5 or 10 minutes of the performance, we're within 3 points of winning the All-Ireland. So whilst disappointed overall, it's generally the build up we felt went well.
Is it a game that still pops into your head, Derek, every now and then, or have you made peace with it in your own mind?
Ah, you think about it. You think about it because you just think about what you might have done differently, or you think about substitutions, or you think about your approach to the game in the run up to it, and in terms of your own energy levels. The immediate focus even after the semi final at 17. We left the boys to their own device for a couple of days. In retrospect, you might want them back in a bit faster to the camp and just put the real focus on the game and how you might win the game. And, it does pop into you're trying to marry that with moving forward as against living in the past. And thankfully, Waterford have moved forward really well over the last 2 years in particular. So it's but you do get a kick out of, watching some of the players now that were on the panel at the time forcefully make their way into the team, i.e., Darragh Lyons or Peter Hogan or guys that were maybe down the line, and the experience of them being involved now 5 or 6 years ago is standing them in good stead into the future. And look, new leadership groups emerged. At the time we were involved, you would have had, a spine of Barry Coughlin and Tighe and Philip Manning and Dara Fives and Morris, etc. And things change, things evolve, and you have kind of a new leadership group emerging in Waterford, which is part of the transition that takes place in general in games over the years. And Cork have shown that more so than any team probably this year.
Yeah, speaking of Cork, Derek, I want you to go into the shoes of Kieran Kingston ahead of this game on Sunday, because Tipperary and Waterford have thrown the kitchen sink at Limerick and the champions have come up with all the answers. What can Cork do to cause a major upset on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a very good question, I suppose. An interesting question in that, there's lots of people would debate the kind of Corkness and the fact that tradition will hold them, will give them an advantage, etc. Into the final. I think what they've done, cleverly, at the start of the year, they've done a couple of things. They omitted a number of big names from their panel. I know Anthony Nash retired, omitted Conor Lehan, and they kind of took the pressure off themselves. Kieran took the pressure off himself, almost kind of, we're building for the future. It's a young team, and he's played that really well this year. Kind of probably echoes of what we tried to do ourselves in 15, where, you take the pressure off yourself by making changes. You have this kind of young squad, and you nearly become not part of the narrative when it comes to All-Ireland winners. And yet at the same time, you have this really talented group of young lads that are operating under the spotlight. So I think he's done that really well. That's initially the first phase of what he's done. He's tactically, I think they've become far more flexible than they were. So whilst they won't talk about it, they'll call it a 6.5 or a sitting six, the relocation of Mark Coleman as their best back hurler, if you like, to the edge of the D, I suppose, where he's filled a kind of a tight role. And he did it very cleverly the last time. When Jerry Miller was available, Jerry Miller was picking up DJ Reid at centre back. And Mark was actually able to kind of man the D from wing back, almost ignoring Don Donnelly. And they've come to the table, I think, in terms of tactical flexibility, in terms of that, what wasn't fashionable a number of years ago, that kind of counter-attacking game, is now all the rage with most of the teams, if you like, where players are operating everywhere and are breaking forward at pace. So they're not relying on corkness anymore. They're relying on the speed and the youth and the exuberance, but the quality of their tactical approach, I think, is evident. So I think they'll need that more than ever on Sunday, because Limerick will hope to kind of be as deep as they ever have been, and ensure that Dermot Burns and Declan Hannan and Kyle Hayes are, you know, basically no more than 45 yards, barring the sporadic burst forward from Burns and Hayes that they get. And they'll hope it's an outside game, because they won't want to be turned in behind speed at Dak O'Connor and Shane Kingston and even Conor Cahalan and those guys have. They'll hope to kind of keep it an outside game and strangle you in the middle third. But, you know, Cork have a lot of tools that they can use that can maybe prevent that. But it's just getting it right. You know, it's how do you mark Keane Lynch? I know it's probably our next question. How do you mark Keane Lynch and allow Mark Coleman to still propel them forward and be able to kind of set up action there? And that's probably the crucial conundrum for Cunningham and Kingston and the Brains Trust there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had in mind, Derek, because we saw the last day Waterford started with seven backs in the All-Ireland semi-final, and you saw Conor Gleeson doing that man-marking job on Keane Lynch, leaving Shane Bennett as a sweeper. And like, Conor Gleeson did okay on Keane Lynch. Conor Prunty did a very decent job on Aaron Galland, but you still had, you know, Seamus Flanagan popping up at four from play, Tom Morrissey five from play. How will Cork set up to counteract that Limerick attack?
Yeah, well, look, I think there was a lot of lazy analysis of how Waterford set up, because I don't think it was a huge amount of difference from what they did against Limerick and against Tipperary the week before, actually. I think, you know, Shane operated really at the edge of the D against Tipperary, but Waterford were able to just work that ball a bit different. And I would actually concur with Jamie's assertion during the week that if Waterford had actually taken the chances that were available to them in the first quarter, that I actually believe we could have been 4 or 5 points up at the end of that first quarter. And you're looking at a different game, and you're looking at the pre-match, you know, expertise was, I think Shane Bennett will sit back and someone will kind of man Keane Lynch. So I think it's a bit lazy to kind of, you know, to criticise Liam Cahill and say you got it wrong there. And, you know, and it goes back to the difference between third midfielders and sweepers, if you like. You know, effectively, I think it's a bit late. So to answer your question, I suppose, the one thing that I would kind of bear in mind there as a kind of a neutral watching the game, if you play with a seven, like we did with Shane Bennett, and Limerick are good at finding a way around that when they leave two inside. And those two inside invariably are Galland and Flanagan, or they may be Galland and Casey at times if Flanagan comes out. So the key thing for me would be, you may also have to leave one wing back kind of in a zonal area, as Dermot Burns does for Limerick, so that traffic is when they go to play that crossfield ball, that one side is actually almost taken zonally by the wing back. Now, to do that and to be able to mark Tom Morrissey and Gerard Hegarty creates a conundrum as well. So a possible solution, and I've actually just finished writing a possible solution to it, but again, nobody has the answers, is to kind of maybe mirror Waterford's approach in the Munster final last year, which was kind of leave Tighe, so Tighe ignored David Reid. Now, you can't ignore Keane Lynch, so I'll come back to that in a second. Kevin man-marked Tom Morrissey, and actually Jack Fagan man-marked Gerard Hegarty, which left Caelan Lyons and Tighe effectively kind of free or zonal, if you like, which Limerick do with Dermot Burns and Declan Hannan at times. Now, why should Cork do that? Well, the evidence thus far with Keane Lynch, Munster final and semi-final, has been the following. Dan McCormack effectively marked him, essentially marked him in the Munster final. Keane Lynch dominated him, I suppose. And despite Connor's unbelievable efforts at man-marking Keane Lynch still played very well against us, right? So there's a possibility that you leave the initial grayness around Keane Lynch. Now, I know that sounds madness to the listener. They say what that means is you effectively leave him out the pitch and he becomes a property of the mob or of the pack. And the pack for Cork are Robbie O'Flynn, Conor Cahalan, Luke Mead, Dara Fitzgibbon, maybe Shamie Harnedy deep from 11, and you leave him. Now, obviously, that becomes an issue if Lynch starts pulling the strings. I'd imagine if Millerick doesn't make it, Owen Cadigan will pick Gerard Hegarty, and then Tim O'Mahony may say to himself, right, I need help from my wing forward on this side. So, but that's, I think there's a lot of X's and O's there. And
Derek, are you effectively leaving Tim O'Mahony and Mark Coleman to man that space in front of the Limerick inside line?
Yeah, exactly. And you're hoping that's the speed and the transition of Robbie O'Flynn. Like, I watched the match again there this morning, the Cork and Kenny match, Jack O'Connor, when he came to wing forward. You're probably looking at Shane Kingston starting. You're hoping that the speed is such that the transition of double dobbing against Hegarty, Morrissey and Lynch, and they can actually get forward at the same time. So I look at Waterford's approach against Tip, if you like, and to a certain extent, where they're able to get the bodies back, but get the bodies at the same time. Look, that I think that's the basic kind of, plan. And I think you have to have plan B then. You have to allow then for a change. In other words, the wing forward that still need the least amount of damage. You leave Coleman sit off him and you leave someone go man marking with Keane Lynch as your plan B.
Would you start Shane Kingston, Derek, after his exploits in the All-Ireland semi-final against Kilkenny?
I would. I would have started him before the Kilkenny match, so I would have got it wrong. His father got it right. So I would. I think there's a couple of things there. I think fair play. I thought Shane Kingston's interview afterwards, where he talked about he was getting a goal a match, but he wasn't going particularly well. And I thought Kieran was clever too in that any potential naysayers in Cork will, maybe the pub stool mentality that might exist in some counties at times, kind of say, Jesus, fair play to Kieran, like he dropped his own son. So I think the impact can come now from Alan Cadigan, can come from possibly the demotion of Shane Barrett. I think the impact can come there. Not as spectacular in terms of 7 points, but and I think they'll hope for a resurgence of the form of Barrett Fitzgibbon. Like he, over the years when we'd be prepping for Cork, Fitzgibbon, Kingston, these guys can't mark the pace they have, and you're trying your best to kind of ensure that you're cutting down the space to those.
Looking up at the other end of the field, Derek, how will Limerick match up against a Cork attack, do you think?
Yeah, well, look, it looks like you'll have a situation where if Jack O'Connor lined up the corner, Sean Finn will pick him and hope to repeat his dominance of nearly every opponent he comes against. Dan Morrissey will probably go toe-to-toe with Hoggy. And, if Kingston is picked in the corner, he may wander from the corner, which means that Barry Nash invariably doesn't follow. Barry Nash will act as a double cover with Declan Hannan and Dermot Burns. And Limerick are very defensively minded. For a team that scores so much, they're probably the most likely matchups. In the Munster Championship game, you had Robbie O'Flynn matching up against Kyle Hayes. They may relocate Horgan to centre-forward at times if that kind of, entrenched defence is stopping the ball getting Horgan. So I say you might see a completely rotational approach, but I think you'll see one of the full forward line, operate as an extra midfielder, maybe Kingston and maybe Jack O'Connor at times, fix that up so that they have the numbers to, not to outmaneuver or not to out physically kind of confront Limerick, but maybe to outnumber them in key areas so that they can break at pace.
Who do you think will be lifting Liam McCarthy come Sunday evening, Derek?
Look, I'm going to go against conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom allied to the bookies, I think, have Limerick raging hot favourites correctly. So I just have a feeling that Cork are going to perform really well, and when they're coming down the stretch, if they can stick to their maxim of how they're playing the game, which is kind of short possession based game, if Sean O'Donoghue can hold Galan, if Niall O'Leary can go toe to toe with Casey, and if Cadigan can, I'm giving you a lot of ifs now, can go toe to toe with Hegarty, I just have a feeling that Cork can do it. And you know what, ahead of the All-Ireland final last year, and my own father was very ill, as you know, and I found it difficult to watch all Ireland. And I would have talked to some of the guys that perhaps weren't involved, that were involved in the Waterford setup when I was involved. And my thoughts this week are with the likes of Conor Lahan and his family, Anthony Nash, people that are maybe outside the Cork bubble now, that the year you step away from something, it becomes more difficult to watch at times. And no doubt they'll want Cork to be victorious. But, you know, sometimes you think of the people that are not involved, you know, based on good, heartfelt decisions by Kieran, etc. But, you know, I'm thinking of those, their families this week as well. I just have a feeling that Cork are coming to the boil nicely, and the understated nature of their preparation will help them. You know, as Kieran said during the week, there's two teams in the final, only one can win it. I don't think the pressure will weigh heavily on Limerick, but I just have a feeling Cork are going to perform really well in the final. And if they get all the things that I've alluded to right, if they get all the things, I just have a funny feeling that Cork might spring a surprise.
So Cork for Derek McGrath in Sunday's All-Ireland final at Croke Park, certainly one to look forward to. And Derek, before you go, like we touched on Waterford's loss to Limerick, it's still very, very fresh in the memory. And like Liam Sheedy's departure in Tipperary has led to a lot of speculation about Liam Cahill's future in Waterford. How important do you think it is for Waterford to hold on to Cahill and his backroom team heading into 2022?
Well, look, it goes without saying it's hugely important. You know, and look, I've been an advocate of even in the columns and exam, I've seen, you know, you don't have to be a genius to realise both the body language, the rapport, the alignment between board and management is very obvious. The alignment between players and management is very obvious. And I think those things, that bond, I suppose, that has been built up over the last 2 years based on Liam and Mikey Beavan's approach and their detail of their training and the nature of their training and the progress that Waterford have made, it's vital that that's continued, I suppose. And I think it will be. My gut feeling is that it will be. And I think, you know, the other thing I'd say is it's not the Premiership. You know, it's you know, people talk in management circles in GAA terms around like as if it's the Premiership. It's, you know, it's hurling, it's GAA, it's there's a great rapport, it looks like, between, you know, Sean Michael and Pat Flynn and Liam. It looks very real, you know, and very obvious. And I think they'll be moving heaven and earth to keep Liam and Mikey involved in Waterford. And that's certainly the hope as a supporter now, as opposed to someone that was at the at the coalface for a number of years. And I think that's certainly the hope. And I think that will materialise. My coach is telling me that will materialise, you know. And I think every Waterford player would want that, you know. Just, you know, again, when you're an ex-Waterford manager, to us, with respect, you don't even engage with your own club players around how the Waterford scene is going. You actually do your job, perhaps in punditry, when you're writing a bit, and you try to be as positive as possible and as informed as possible. But you don't go down the route of how's it going or what's he like, etc. So all perceptions and all opinions are just formed from watching body language and watching how the team are playing. And I like how the team are playing, because I think that's Waterford's strength, is to be unpredictable, to have their forwards back to field and to break a pace. And I think that's the future. And, you know, it was striking to listen to Shane McGrath say this week that Tipperary need to change the way they play the game. I think Cork have changed. I think Waterford's change took place over a number of years, and they've continued. They've gone back to that change now, which is welcome. And I just hope, like every Waterford supporter, that continues.
Yeah, I think every Waterford fan will echo that, Derek, and keeping their fingers crossed that Liam Cahill and his backroom team will be around for 2022. Former Daisha hurling boss Derek McGrath, pleasure to talk hurling with you as always. Thanks so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
A reminder that the 2020 County Senior Football Final at Gormagh versus Ballinacorty will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR on Saturday. Join Kieran O'Connor and Michelle Ryan for live coverage from 4:45. And I'll also have updates on Saturday evening from Páirc Uí as Waterford take on Tipperary in the All-Ireland Camogie quarter-finals. Thanks so much for your company. Slán go fóill.
Now you're hurling. Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.